make no difference who shows up on Sunday as long as he's here. So I'm glad to tell you that I believe that the Lord is here. And if you have a copy of God's Word, it would be turning with us in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. The book of Ezekiel chapter 37, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. And we're going to, I wish I had Jimmy and Johnny here to sing about them old bones this morning. And but they're not here, and I won't torture you by trying to do all that. But we're talking about the Valley of the Dry Bones as Ezekiel was preaching to this congregation. And I know how Ezekiel feels because I've preached to dry bones myself. I know what it is to look over a dead corpse and preach to a bunch of old dead bones. I'm not saying that that's here today, but I want to tell you this much. Every church has a boneyard. Amen. And I'm not talking about the cemeteries, and I'm not talking about those that's dead, but we're going to look in the church's boneyard today. And hey, listen, are you going to get your toes stepped? Yes, you are. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. A lot of folks say, well, preacher, that's hard preaching. I want to tell you, I've never preached a message yet that God himself did not preach to me before. So suck it up and go on. But as we talk about the church's boneyard, and I'm going to be reading out of Ezekiel chapter 37, starting with verse 1, and kind of visualize this in your heart and mind as we read this as to what's going on over there. And if you'd like to stand, you certainly may. And just to honor God's word and to let him know whose side we're on today. The Bible's going to read, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O God, thou knowest. Against, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and to live. And ye shall lay sinew upon you, and shall bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and breathe into you, and all shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone unto his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then saith he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, saying, Son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, thou breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came upon them, and they lived. And he stood upon his feet, an exceedingly great army." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your blessed word today. Lord, we just pray that it would enter into the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And Father, that we might realize our standing before you today, Lord. We just pray that you would make unto us a mighty army for you, Lord. That you'd make unto us a people that desires your heart today, Lord. We just pray that if there be one here today that's out of your will, out of joint, misplaced, dislodged, Lord, that they might come back into the body today, Lord. We just pray that you go and be with us. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. You know, this valley of dry bones was Ezekiel's congregation that day. They were lifeless and very dry. Many of our modern churches today are just as dry and just as dead as that valley of dry bones was that day. But if you will bear with me today, and if you will go along with me just for a moment, I want us to note some names of some bones in the churches today. You know, like I say, I wish Jimmy and Johnny was here because they could tell you all about the knee bone connected to the, and I forget the bones. But they can put them together and take them apart. How many of y'all ever heard Jimmy and Johnny sing that song? They can put them together and take them apart. I can't do that today. But I'm going to tell you about some bones that Jimmy and Johnny didn't talk to you about. You know, there's a lot of folks in today that are the wishbone. Y'all know what a wishbone is. You find that in a turkey or a chicken over there, and you get down, supposedly you break it, you get thoughts put together. Supposed to be, it's almost satanic, that old wishbone is, ain't it? Tell you something about a wishbone. We got a lot of wishbone members sometime in church, and they're too lazy to work. When I say too lazy, they're kind of like those 10 spies in the Old Testament over there. You know, they were sent over there and to seek out the land of Canaan, and they come back over there, and all that those 10 people had to say was negative. All that those 10 people had to say was an excuse not to cross over. See, there's a lot of folks say, and let me tell you another part of the body that those wishbones are like. If there's one part of the body, body of Christ that we don't need an aorta. They say an aorta is a real important part of the body. Matter of fact, they say you can't live without an aorta. They say over there that if you have an aorta rupture over there, that you're dead. No, they go along with the wishbones. That's that person who sits in the back over there while other people are trying to work and say, you know, they ought to go over there and do that. They ought to go over there and see that that gets done. We don't need no wishbones in the boneyard. They're also like this, you know, over there, if you read over there, in Judges chapter 7, verses 2 and 7, the Bible says that Gideon was having to fight a battle. And he said, everyone that is afraid and will not go up, remove themselves. The Bible says 22,000 of them left. 22,000 of them left. How many folks ever hit your funny bone? I never could figure out why they call it the funny bone, because there's nothing funny about hitting it. I never could figure where they get that. When you hit your funny bone, there's nothing funny about hitting your funny bone. It might be the people around you, but if it's your funny bone, you know all about it. You know, the funny bone members are those who are always getting their feelings hurt. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want your feelings hurt, you're at the right place. Amen. If you want to get your feelings hurt, the house of God is the place to come and do it. Because I'm going to tell you something today, and I'll say it with my hand raised in the air. I have met some of the meanest people in this world at church. Amen. I have. Proverbs says, in Proverbs chapter 6, it talks about six things doth the Lord hate, and seven's an abomination unto the Lord. You know what that seventh thing is? He that soweth discord among the brethren. Amen. He that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, there was an elder brother in Luke chapter 15 over there who had a younger brother. And this younger brother went out into the world, and this younger brother went out, and the Lord gave him his part, or his dad gave him part of his inheritance, and he went out and squandered everything he had. The Bible says, and he came to himself one day. And I don't know if I came up with this or stole it from a preacher years ago, but as a matter of fact, it don't really matter. And that's when he dropped his pail and jumped the rail and went home. Listen, when he got home, his father was there to welcome him. His father was there to put a ring on his finger. His father was there to put a robe upon his back. But the elder brother was all puffed up. Nobody fixed a meal for me. Nobody put a ring on my finger. Nobody put a robe on me. He was a good funny bone member at a Baptist church. Listen, I want to tell you today, it never has been about you. It never will be about you. And we got a lot of folks today that are coming over there because of what they can give to the church. Bible says, present ye therefore a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You're not doing God no favors by showing up. Amen. You're not doing God no great big service by just being here and being seen. Why is that? The Bible says it's your reasonable service. In other words, that's what's expected of you. That's what's expected of you. We got funny bones in our boneyard. Those over there, you know, always falling out with someone in church. Always falling out with someone in church. Hey, listen, I thank God that we don't have these little huddles after church like you do see in some churches. When you say huddles, I'm here to tell you this. Hey, listen, I've seen churches turn out, and they'll start huddling up like football teams, and they'll start calling their teammates together over there, and they'll have them a little huddle over here, and they'll have them a little huddle over here. And you know what they're talking about? The other huddles. You say, you mean that takes place in church? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That takes place over there. Why is that? It's because we got funny bones in church. Always falling out with someone in church. Always got a problem with someone. Hey, listen. That's the same word. That's the same word. The ones that the preacher has to run around pampering. And the preacher has to run around begging, and the preacher has to run around asking and doing over that. But I tell you, there's funny bones in the church sometimes. I will tell you this, if you're new to the church, if you want me to beg and pamper you, you probably need to go hunt you another church. How about them old dry bone members? Ezekiel said that the bones were very dry. In other words, they had been laying there for a while. In other words, they were there and they had been in the sun. They had been bleached by the elements. They had laid out there to the point that they were very dry. Did y'all know that grace, listen, did y'all know that grace holds you to a higher standard than the law ever could? Did you know that? And yet, we forget that sometimes. Dry bone church members never say an amen. They never shed a tear. You know, the Pharisees were that way. Oh, they knew the law, this way. They knew the laws that way. They knew that they knew things that would astound you about the law. But they never learned to worship. Do you know there's a lot of folks today that attend church and never worship? There's folks over there that come and they go through the process of being here, and they go through the process of all of that, but they've never learned to worship the Lord. They're so dry. So dry. Never shed a tear. Never say an amen. And then there's the hip bone members. You know, when I talk about hip bone members, I know folks over there who've broke a hip. That's a big deal, by the way. I know folks over there that have wore out a hip. Isn't it great that we live in 2019 where you can go get a spare part every now and then? Used to, you couldn't do that, you know. Whatever happened to you, you just had to live with it, but now they make spare parts for us. But when I say hip bone members in this boneyard, when I say hip bone members, that's the ones over there that are touchy about their giving. When I say touchy about your giving, listen, I'm getting ready to tell you something today that you'll probably never hear from another pulpit in America, but I'm here to tell you this today. God don't need your money. God don't need your money. Hey, what in the world could the Lord do with money? You're sitting up there in heaven. All you got to do is speak it into being. What in the world would the Lord do with money? He don't need your money. But he needs our obedience. He needs our trust. Those of you that have tithed, I will tell you that you have learned that it is much easier to live life with 90% with God's blessing than 100% without it. That's about all I'm going to say about that. But these hip bone members, they won't serve God on credit. Amen? They won't serve God on credit. You know, there's a payday coming someday. Amen? You believe that? There's some folks today that are spiritually bankrupt in the Lord. In other words, their lives are to the point over there that it's going to take someone to come and bail them out. Well, Jesus Christ is in the bailing out business today. Hey, listen, if you're spiritually bankrupt today, hey, you might try to worship on credit, but I'm going to tell you there's a payday in the order of God today. If you'll come over there, God can correct what's wrong in your life. Now, you say, well, preacher, I just don't believe in that. Well, I don't really care where you believe in. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 says this. Will a man rob God? That's the question. God answers himself. Yea, ye have robbed me, wherewith you have robbed thee. Well, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. I didn't say that. God said that. Hip bone members. They're kind of like them hitchhikers. Now, I ain't got nothing against hitchhikers. I used to hitchhike a lot. When you ain't got no car, you learn how. I remember when I grew up over here, you could actually pick somebody up. You get out and stick your thumb out right there. You wouldn't have to wait just a few minutes. Somebody pick it. Of course, we know everybody. Hey, and if you had a soldier's uniform back in the 60s, a lot of times you could get home quicker hitchhiking than you could driving. You didn't have to wait long in a soldier's outfit. Now, the good thing about hitchhiking, a lot of good things about hitchhiking. Listen, now, young folks, don't you get out and hitchhike, not in 2019. You don't listen to this old man. This old man's talking about when things were great. Back in the good old days. Well, number one, when you hitchhike, you have to buy no gas. Number two, you didn't have no wear and tear on your car because you didn't have none. And number three, you just had to sit back and ride and let somebody else do the driving. These folks wanting to hitchhike in church today, amen? Now, you might not have paid a fee to come in here. I don't think we'll ever be charging admission to church, do you? But I want to tell you, it will cost you dearly to serve the Lord. And a lot of that's why it said, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in God, which is your reasonable service. If you serve the Lord, you can't be a hitchhiker. It will cost you something to serve the Lord. See, that hitchhiker, he don't care. He's just waiting for the next ride, and he's waiting for the next ride. He don't have anything invested in this. There's a lot of folks today trying to hitchhike their way to heaven. It costs you something to serve the Lord. It will cost you. Most of the time, it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay to serve the Lord. And I'm not just talking about money, honey. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about investing myself into other people. It will cost you to serve the Lord. You know, and y'all know what James chapter 3 speaks of? The entire chapter of James speaks of? Speaks about the tongue. Did you know that there's jawbone members in the house of the Lord? And I'm going to tell you something that's probably going to shock you today. Did you know that there's people that actually tattle and gossip in the house of the Lord? I know that's a shocker to some of you. And, you know, I really feel for this young generation because the devil has equipped them so well to sin. Are you with me? For example, that smartphone. Give an example. See, when I grew up in the 60s, if I wanted to go look at pornography, I'd have to go to a store. Then I would have to ask the man, I won't buy pornography. I would have to ask the lady, and they had kept it behind the counter, back there where nobody else could do. And they would get it out, and all the people would be around watching you. To get your pornography. You know what happened? Most people didn't go out and buy pornography for that reason. Amen, am I right? You ain't that righteous, am I right? Now they just, there it is. You say, well, kids can't do, hey, you see this watch right here? That's an electronic watch. I have no idea. When it changes, I have to get one of these kids to set my watch. Yes, they know how to do it. Yes, they can go around it. But the devil has equipped them so well to sin in 2019. We just have to work about it. Had to work to sin sometimes. But I thought pornography would be a good way to illustrate that. Well, let's talk about the jawbone. Church members. Always having trouble with the tongue. James chapter 3 says that the tongue is a little member. But it says if we put bridles in horses' mouth and we try to turn the whole body, that just by putting that in there and the tongue will control the whole body. He said you got mighty ships over there. You got great ships, but you got a little bitty rudder over there. And just as that rudder will control that ship, so does the tongue control the whole body. I was brought up with some homemade scripture. Be honest with you. My granny and grandpa, who was a big influence in my life on daddy's side of the family, neither of them could read or write. As a matter of fact, I sat over there and they'd speak Cherokee and that would really make you feel good because you couldn't understand a word they were saying and they couldn't write them nothing because you couldn't read and write. Might as well be living with a bunch of deaf mutes. But some of the homemade scriptures taught to me, if you ain't got nothing to say good about somebody, don't say nothing at all. Have y'all heard that same scripture? Yep. I thought surely that's in the Bible, and it broke my heart when I got to read and found out it wasn't. Peter was always bragging, wasn't he? You know, Peter, if he could have learned to keep his mouth shut, he would have stayed out of a lot of trouble. Always boasting about what he would do, wouldn't do. Always asking dumb questions. Always making dumb statements. Always coming up with the, but God was using him nonetheless. But we have jawbones in a church boneyard sometimes. You know, the best thing to do a lot of time is to keep your mouth shut. And going back to this point, the devil makes it so easy to sin in 2019. See, if you ain't got the guts to go up and tell somebody something, or you don't have the guts to go up and do that, then you get on there and you go to my facing them. No, Facebook them. Is that what it is? See, I don't have a smartphone. I refuse to carry something in my pocket that's smarter than I am. I just ain't going to do that. But they get over there and they start running each other down and they start belittling over there. And then they join in over there like a big old flock of buzzards. And there's people literally being destroyed in the community by jawbones. We as Christians would oftentimes be better off if we could learn from the lessons that Peter should have learned from and keep our mouth shut. Why is that? Because the Lord has called you into a life of edification. You say, I've never heard that term. What does it mean? I'm glad you asked. To edify is to build up. To edify is to make better. To edify is to reach down and pick up and set up and build up and make something out of nothing. If your words does not edify, keep your mouth shut. If your words do not build up, don't say nothing. If your words does not make a person a better person by speaking of them, then keep your mouth shut. Oh, if we could just learn that. Think about the problems we could solve in our society today. Matter of fact, James says over there in James chapter 3, it said that James calls a gossiping tongue a fire. And then right after that, he said it's a fire and it's a world of iniquity. In other words, it's a reflection of who you are by what you say. And it's a treasure chest of sin. I know you'll start listening to these old bones. I got one or two more old bones I want to throw at you. You can go home and say, well, what did the preacher do? Say, he throwed bones at us all day. You know, what we need in the house of the Lord in 2019, we need more knee bones. Church members. You say, how can you tell the knee bones from the other bones? Well, I'm glad you asked. Most of the time, a knee bone, you'll see his car parked out here on Wednesday night, Sunday night. And when they something to Sunday morning, well, I don't know about Sunday. Anyway, we'll talk about that here in a minute. When something's ready to be done or something's needed to be done, that's that person who, yeah, count me in. Them knee bones. They're the praying type. The ones who will pay the price on their knees. You know it costs you to pray. Takes a little time. Might develop bad joints. I don't know. I don't know about that. But listen, the reason that people are not being saved, the reason that churches are closing their doors, the reason why churches are running their pastor off, and the reason why that things are array and is all right is because of the lack of knee bones. See, prayer is the key to a church's success. You take a church that won't pray, you take people that won't pray over there, I'm going to tell you, it's a hopeless situation when people will not pray. I'm glad to tell you today, I like over in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John, it said they went up to the temple to pray one day at the hour of prayer. Now that's important, ain't it? Notice that they just didn't go up there at any time, but they had a specific time set aside in their life that they went up to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. Listen, praying ain't no more than anything else. You get in a habit of it, you can't break it. You go over there, you get in a habit of praying, you get in a mode of praying at a particular time, at a particular place over there, then God will bless you for that. But they went up to pray at the hour prior. And there was a lame man there begging for alms. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Oh, if we had more knee bones over there, we'd see great miracles take place again. Then I think about over there in Acts chapter 13 and verse 3, when old Paul and Silas is thrown in jail over there, and they moved over there in maximum security. They're over there and they're actually chained to a soldier over there, and they have been beaten all day. They have probably hungry. Their wounds are bleeding out on them over there, and they're back there in the back of the jailhouse singing and praising God. Beaten, but still able to worship. You know, I'm going to tell you, when you got a bunch of knee bones, they going to worship. They can't help themselves. They're going to worship. When all these other old bones are saying, you know what happens in churches today? And I hear it all the time. We'll have this going on and that going on and this going on and this going on. You know what a lot of churches will say? First thing they'll say, well, we just won't have preaching. We just won't have preaching, and that'll give us time to do this other. Well, that ain't no knee bone speaking, I'll tell you that right now. That ain't a knee bone that's speaking. That's some of these other bones talking over there. And I'll just be honest with you, Pastor, I ain't going to pay a lot of attention to them other bones sometimes. I'm going to listen to the knee bone. I'm going to listen to them over there that have come to worship, and that is their aim. Listen, if we didn't come to church to worship today, we might as well stayed at home, because our aim was to come and worship Him. Remember, it's not about you, it's about Him. Y'all come and get a song together. I've thrown out these bones today, and I'd ask you today, you say, I done figured out that I'm a wishbone. Well, I don't like being a wishbone no more. I found out I'm a funny bone. I don't like being a funny bone no more. Found out I'm a dry bone. I don't want to be a dry bone. I'm a hip bone. Don't want to be a hip. I'm a jawbone. Don't want to be a jawbone. I like being a knee bone. I tell you the kind of God in which we serve. He can make out of you His blessed will today. I don't care what you are. Matter of fact, in Ezekiel, the first heart transplant that was ever done is found in the book of Ezekiel. He said, I took out the stony heart and I replaced it with a heart of love. That's in the book of Ezekiel. God's in the transformation. He's in the restoration. He is in the business of making us more than we should be. If you have a need, I'm going to ask that you come to the altar. Not happy with where you're at in your relationship with Him. He can change that. But I'm going to ask you today, because I see churches drying up in 2019. I really do. I see churches today that if we don't get on fire for God, that we're going to turn into that visual congregation of dry bones. I'd hate to see that happen. Church, I preach that to you in love. I love you. I'm going to ask you to come if you want me to pray for you. I'd be happy to, but let's stand as we sing.